We're on the last of our Emmanuel series. I've loved doing this series, and I've loved just exploring who God is through Jesus, because that's what we've been doing over the last 6 weeks or so. I've been looking at who God is through the man Jesus Christ, and today is going to be no different. And I want to tell you a story to start off this morning, what I'm going to be talking to you about. And this story is about a man named Arthur Stace. And Arthur Stace lived in not so long ago, probably died about 90 years ago. And for most of his life, he was an alcoholic. And then probably in his 30s, he found Jesus and totally transformed his life. And about 2 years into his faith, he went to a meeting, and there was a man by the name of Reverend John Ridley who was speaking. And he was speaking on the subject of the echoes of eternity. And this is what he said as he preached. He said, "Eternity, eternity, I wish that I could sound or shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where you will spend it is your choice, eternity." Stace heard these words and he said this, "Eternity went ringing through my brain, and suddenly I began crying and felt a powerful call from the Lord to write eternity." The thing about him doing this was he could not write. So he was a man who was illiterate. He could not write. And we are told that as God began to call him to write the word eternity, he picked up some chalk and he began to write. And he says this. He said, "The word eternity came out smoothly in a beautiful corporate script. I couldn't understand it then, and I still can't now." And basically what Arthur Stace did, he lived in Sydney, Australia, and he would go out every single day and he would take a piece of chalk and he would go out onto the streets of Sydney and he would write the word eternity in chalk. He would write it on the pavement and he would write it on the bush shelters if they had them, and he would write it on the wall, and everywhere that he could find, he would write the word eternity. And he did this for around about 35 years. And it's estimated in 35 years that he wrote the word eternity over 500,000 times on the streets of Sydney. And we may look at that, you know, he never built a mega church. He never preached. He never did anything. He just wrote the word eternity consistently for 35 years. Every single day he would go out with his piece of chalk. A man who couldn't write, there was one word that he could write. And that was the word eternity. As the last millennium drew to a close, this man who thought he was insignificant, this man who thought all he did was write the word in chalk, it would be gone the moment the rain came, the word would disappear because it was only in chalk. But as a legacy to him, and to remember him on the night that the last millennial closed and the new millennium began, the words eternity were written across the harbour bridge. The first to be televised of the New Year celebrations on our screens, the word eternity was written on the harbour bridge, lit up in lights. When the Olympics opened that same year, the word eternity was written and was part of the opening ceremony. This man who for 35 years took his piece of chalk every day and wrote the word eternity. He wanted people to know about the God who cares about their eternity. His legacy today still lives on. There's an opera being written about him called The Eternity Man. You know, there are things that go on because he took a piece of chalk. And sometimes we can look at our lives and say, we can't do much. We're insignificant, a little bit like what Joe's just been talking about changing our vocabulary. You know, we need to come and realize that actually when God grips us with something, it can change the lives of people even beyond our life. This man who went out every day and who wrote the word eternity, his legacy still lives on. The word is up in lights. The word is up there for all to see. As the new millennium came in, the word was there. It was the word that everyone in Sydney, Australia saw, who were down there, who was down joining in the celebrations. In the middle of the celebrations, the word eternity lit up because one man obeyed the call of God and every day took a piece of chalk and wrote one word, because it's the only word he could write, on the streets of his city. And you know what? I think when Emmanuel came, that was God writing eternity for every generation. That was God writing eternity over this world, over this universe. And I want to talk to you this morning about eternity, because eternity is why Emmanuel came. We talked about Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God revealed in us. Emmanuel was the one who broke God's silence. Emmanuel was for everybody, not just for a few. And today I want to tell you that what drove Jesus to become Emmanuel, God with us, was your eternity and my eternity. It's all about heaven. It's all about eternity. It's all about where we're going to spend it and who we're going to spend it with. Eternity is what motivated Jesus' life on this earth. It wasn't fame or position, or it wasn't even the miracles that he performed. What motivated him was eternity. Because what motivated God to send him was him wanting relationship with you forever and ever. And so this morning I want to look at this. I want to read a verse that I've already read out during worship. And it's this Psalm 90 verse 2. It says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before everything, there was God. God has no beginning. He has no end. Before everything, during everything, after everything, there was, there is, and there will be God. And we can't get our brains around that. I don't know if you've sat and tried to, but I can't. I can't get my brain around. So God, who made God? Well, the fact is no one made God. God is, was, will always be. He's always been there. He's always with you. He will always be there. And this morning, I want to just come and appeal not to your intellect. And there are probably people who could intellectually take this subject better than I can, but I want to appeal to your heart this morning where it comes to eternity, because you can't grasp eternity with your mind. You can't grasp eternity with your intellect. You can't grasp eternity with in this human position that we are in. You've got to grasp it with faith in your heart. And so this morning I want to come, and there's just two things in a moment that I'm going to say about eternity. Isaiah 6:9, we've looked at this verse that says about what Jesus is going to be called. It says this, and you'll be called Everlasting Father. And Jung's say this, that the literal translation of Everlasting Father is simply this: Father of Eternity. Everything Jesus did and everything Jesus said was pointing to eternity. It's eternity that matters. I know we think that it's here and now that matters, but actually it's eternity that matters. I've done quite a bit of research for what I'm going to say to us this morning, and I was listening to John Bevere speak, and he'd been to this church, and that was about 300,000 people strong. And they planted churches all over in this one vicinity. And he said to the pastor, this church started 16 years previously with one man, his wife, and their kids. And he said to this guy, he said, how in 16 years do you grow a church from five of you to 300,000? And he said, I sat there thinking I already knew the answer. I sat there thinking it would be their small groups and how they did that, or how they ran their programs, or their bus ministry, or, and we were thinking, he was thinking in the framework of what other people had done. And he said, this is how we grew our church to 300,000 people. We tell them about eternity. We tell them about what is going to happen when Jesus comes back. We tell them about what is waiting for us on the other side of this life. is as we talk to them constantly about eternity, they know the price. They know the cost of someone not knowing Jesus. And so, this morning I want to come and just for a few moments, just kind of bring us a few things about this. You know, this year, I think especially for me, has brought with it some horrendous things as we've watched the news over the last 12 months. If ever there was a day where eternity needs writing across the hearts of us as human beings, if ever there was a day where the word eternity needs writing all over our world and our nation, I think that day is today. Because this year, people have gone to concerts and not come home. This year, a few weeks ago, people went to church and didn't make it home. You know, you looked at the same time and people went to the mosque in Egypt and never made it home. You know, this year, if ever there was a year for me where the word eternity is so important and is so prevalent, I think it's today. This year, we've seen natural disasters claim lives. You know, eternity is important. Eternity matters. And eternity is why Emmanuel came. Eternity is why he rocked up. Eternity is why he was born. And eternity is why he died and why he rose again. Your eternity, my eternity, the eternity of the people around us. I think today we need to grasp a hold of this. Eternity has been sounding and we can't get it with our thinking or our minds because we can't grasp what we don't know. We don't know about eternity, but Jesus did. And Jesus does. And he wants us this morning to realize who he is and what he has done for us. Anything outside of God is temporary. Only God knows the eternal. It says this in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm reading the Passion Translation of the Bible about Jesus. It says, and he called him Lord, saying, Lord, you formed the earth in the beginning. And with your own hands, you crafted the cosmos. They will both one day disappear, but you will remain forever. They will all fade like a worn-out garment, and they will be changed like clothes, and you will fold them up and put them away. But you are I am. You never change. Years without end. Anything outside of God is temporary, and we've got to stop living just for the temporal. The first thing that I want to say to us this morning, my first point is simply this, that we have to begin to live for the eternal. We've got to begin to live for eternity. It's not all about the few years that we spend here. It's about God preparing us for what we're going to be forever and ever. It's about eternity. A lot of the times we live for the here and now, but God calls us to consider the eternal. And whether this morning in here you know God or you don't, I want to put it to us, friends, this morning that we begin to consider the eternal. We begin to take Arthur Stace's kind of legacy and we begin to write eternity over the things that we're doing with our lives. We can't just live based on how we feel or on what society tells us. And society is telling us a lot of things right now. And a lot of it does not stand up to the word of God, which we're told is eternal. We have to get back to what he says. John 3:16 says this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. The only way to secure our eternity with God is to choose him now. It's the only way to secure our eternity with God. Does eternity drive you? Eternity drove Jesus' life. Eternity, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, made him say these words, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. The Bible tells us that he sweat drops of blood. There was that much anxiety around him. You know, he didn't go to the cross and not feel anything. You know, this morning, the eternity drove him. It drove him in the Garden of Gethsemane to choose you. and to choose me. It drove him in the Garden of Gethsemane to choose God's way, not his way. Because at that point, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And he was feeling all of the things that as a man you would feel at that moment in your life. When you're sitting there going, I know what you're telling me, God, and I don't want to really do it, if I'm honest, the human side of me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was driven by eternity when he said those words. Does eternity affect your choices? Does it affect your decision? And does it shape how your life looks and what you're doing with your days? Does eternity affect you at all? And I'm talking to Christians as well as people who might not yet know God. Does eternity affect you at all? Or do we just think about the temporary? Psalm 90 further on says this in verse 12 in the NLT version. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. The NIV says this, teach us to number our days. God, teach us to number our days. God, let me make today count. Let me make today count, not just for today, but for eternity. Let me make today count. Teach me to number my days, God, that I might what? Grow in wisdom. You want to live a life that is wise, live a life that is, you know, looking to eternity, not just looking to the here and now. Do you know what? Success has become about what we have and about what we do. But I want to say success is about where we're going. It's not about what you have. And I want to take some of the pressure off for us. Christmas and the success of Christmas is not about what you buy or what you give. I've done the shopping thing. There have been many Amazon packages come into our house. We've managed to hide most of them. But success is how we affect eternity. It's not about today. What is it the Bible says? If a man gains the whole world and yet loses his soul, what good is it? Success isn't about what we have or what we do or how high we climb the ladder. Success, I think someone like Arthur Stace, I think his life was successful. A man who could write one word. He couldn't even write his own name properly. A man who could write one word and he did it with everything that he had got and he's affected eternity. I think his life was successful because we're still talking about it today. Go away and Google him. There's not loads of other Arthur Stases that come up first because everyone knows if you type that name into Google who you are looking for. And I want to say to you this morning, do you know what? Success in your life is not about what you have or you don't have. It's not about how high you climb the ladder in your career. It's not about, you know, anything of the temporal. It's about the eternal. It's about, are you affecting other people's eternity with your life? Those people that don't yet know God, are they likely to through you? And you don't have to be a brilliant evangelist like we've got sat over here, okay? You don't have to be that. You have to be someone who lives their life with eternity in mind. Because I don't know about you, but I want to do eternity with all of you. As I look in the playground at my school, I want to do eternity with those people because I know there are two sides to eternity, and I want them on my side. I want them on the right side of eternity. And the second thing, this scripture's come alive. I've loved this verse in Ecclesiastes for years. But just over the last couple of weeks while I've been thinking about this, this verse has come alive to me. And it's Ecclesiastes 3:11. And it says, "And God makes everything beautiful in its time, and God also sets eternity in the heart of man." Now, I've loved that verse. It's very poetically beautiful. It's written very beautifully. I love, and God, you know, makes everything beautiful in its time. And I wasn't going to include that in my preach, but I just feel some of you need to know this morning that God's going to make things beautiful in its time. Some of you need to hear that today, that actually God is going to make things beautiful for you in his time. Things aren't going to look like this forever, but God is actually going to bring beauty out of today. But that second part, that God set eternity, I've just thought it was written beautifully in the past. I think God set eternity in the heart of man. Do you know what? Today, God appeals to our hearts, not our heads, especially about eternity. God didn't set eternity in our minds because he knew that our minds couldn't comprehend it. But God set eternity in our hearts. Do you know when God made you? I love Psalm 139 that talks about God knit us together in our mother's womb, that he made us fearfully and he made us wonderfully. You know when God was making you, this is how I kind of, give me a bit of preacher's license, will you? This is how I envisage it happening, right? That when the Bible says God set eternity in our heart, that as God was forming you, and I believe that God did create every single human being, that as God was making you in your mother's womb, he dropped a seed of eternity in your heart. Now, when you think about seeds, I don't think about them a lot because I kill things rather than help them grow. We've just been watching The Lorax at home, and there's a song that my kids and Math actually have started singing, and it says this: they're on about growing these trees, and all these people want to grow all these trees, and the baddie in it wants to chop them all down and not have them anymore. So they kind of sing, "Let it grow, let it grow, let it grow," and the baddie sings, "Let it die, let it die, let it die," and they're really kind of into this kind of whole film at the moment and this song, and they're ruining "Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow" because my kids are singing "Let It Die, Let It Die, Let It Die" to the same tune, okay? But when you think about seeds, which I don't often do because, like I say, I kill things rather than, that was my point of that, rather than let things grow, okay? I'm not very good at growing things, but when you get a seed, you can't really see the seed, and when you put it in the soil, that's it. It's gone, unless you've got like a big bulb, but I don't see it as that with God, and I just really see that God plants the seed of eternity in our heart. He sets eternity. We're all born with this wondering about eternity. We're all born from the word go. We don't have a say in it because God set eternity in our heart. He planted a seed of eternity in our heart that one day he wants to allow to grow into a relationship with him. God sets it in our hearts. And the second thing that I want to say to you is that God has already set eternity in your heart. He's already set eternity. God sets eternity. He plants a seed of eternity in all of us. How we water it and allow it to grow is up to us. Do you know what? We often measure God's love for us in a very human way, but the Bible tells us that God's love is eternal. His love for us doesn't just look at our circumstances right now, because the Bible says this in John 14, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. God says, "I am going to prepare a place for you." And as we go through this life, not only has God prepared a place for us in eternity, but as we go through this life, he prepares us to be with him. And he prepares us to live with him. And this morning, I want to say to us that God's love is eternal, and he doesn't always just make things everything okay for us. Sometimes he allows us to go through things. I've looked at stuff this week and just gone, man alive, it's crazy the amount of people that are going through stuff right now. I look around and I'm just talking about our church, which is not a massive amount of people. But it is crazy the amount of people that are going through stuff. The text messages that I've had this week, or the phone calls or whatever. This week, just this week. People with loved ones in hospital, people going through circumstances and trials. And you know, God doesn't always take us out of those things, but he does always say that he will be with us through them. And what happens is he begins to prepare us for eternity. Because when God looks at our life and looks at what's okay and what isn't, it looks very different to when we look at it. And I've kind of been going, God, if I can't get my brain around this, how can I get that message across to everybody else? So I'll be absolutely honest with you. I've racked my brain this week, and I've all of a sudden realized it's nothing to do with my brain. It's to do with my heart, because God looks at me from an eternal perspective. He doesn't just look at me in the time that I'm living now. So when I've gone through stuff in my life, God doesn't just look. When I went through stuff, you know, at the beginning of this century, God didn't look at it and go, okay, I need to just make it okay for today. What God did was he said, right, in my eternal perspective, because I see the end from the beginning, as I look at absolutely everything, I know if I can take her through this, this is who she's going to become. And when she becomes this, okay, that will be great because I can use that. And then we went through some other stuff, you know, just after Matt and I got married. And God could have gone, I'm just going to do the miracle. And he chose not to do that. And what he did is in his eternal perspective, he went, if I can get them through this, this is who they'll become. And in God's eternal perspective, he saw the day that my son and daughter were born. And he saw when I would bring them home. And in his eternal perspective, he said, if I do what they're asking me for me right now, actually, I've got these two kids over here that I know are going to need someone. And so, actually, I'm just going to take them through this. And then when they come here, they'll be ready for this. And they can be who I need them to be. And for some of you right now, you need to realize that God's love for you is not temporary. It's not just about the situation you find yourself in today. God's love for you is eternal. And he's going, actually, I'm just going to take them through this. Because when they're through it, this will happen. And that can happen. And I can do, because God looks at your life through eternity, not just about today. He has set eternity in your heart. God has set the eternal in you. And if you will just cling on to him, I can promise you he will be faithful. Because the Bible tells us that God shows his faithfulness to every generation. And I can tell you, as I've gone through stuff in my life, as sometimes I've clung onto God with my fingertips, and it felt like, you know, I could let go at any moment. Ever felt like that? But I know I won't let go of God, because he's usually what I've got left. And he's usually the one that's going to bring, he's always the one that's going to bring me through. God prepares us for what he has set our heart toward. He doesn't just come and make everything that is not okay in our life vanish. God prepares us for what he has set our hearts towards. Do you know, I've always found it really sad until I've really realized this verse. That people can go through their life and doubt and ignore the existence of God. Yet when it comes to the time that they're going to leave this earth, that seed that God planted, even if it hasn't shown any sign of growth before that point, that seed that God planted will a lot of the time begin to grow very quickly. As we begin to realize that it's not all about this earth, actually there's something more. And people, you know, think about the thief on the cross next to Jesus. And Jesus turned to him, I think one of the most gracious statements that I've ever heard in my life. And he says, you know, the thief says, remember me. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? God set eternity in his heart. And in those final moments, that seed began to grow. Jesus, remember me. He realized who Jesus was. He realized where Jesus was going, and he realized he wanted to be with him. God, remember me. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. The seed that God places in every human being has the chance at some point in our lives to begin to grow. But you know what? This morning, we don't have to wait any longer. We don't have to wait for that moment. This morning, even if we know Jesus, I've had a new revelation just as I've been writing this about what eternity is all about. And I thought I knew it because, like, I'd done my essays to become a minister for it, right? So I thought I knew. And all of a sudden, God said, Joe, I set eternity in your heart before you even took your first breath. As I crafted you, as I made you, eternity became part of you. And for me this year, it has opened my eyes to those around me who don't know Jesus. And my prayer for us this morning is that as we think on eternity, that it won't just be about us, but it'll be about those people around us. Those people who this week, are they still underneath there? No, they're off. Those people who this week we're going to take an invitation to. We're going to be talking next week about the invitation that Emmanuel gives us. And we're going to give an invitation because we realize, do you know what? God set eternity in your heart. And you don't have to say this to them because they'll think you're just weird. But God set eternity in your heart. I am about to water that seed. Do you want to come? I'm not saying you have to go and give them the gospel. If God tells you to, go and do it, by the way. But I'm not saying you have to. But why not give them an invitation? Why not water the seed? Why not begin to nudge the thing that God's already set in them? And invite them along next week. Because I'm not going to be trying to appeal to anyone's intellect. Because I'll tell you something, church, it's our heart this morning that needs to wake up to eternity. This is what God says. He says, I've set eternity in your heart. He doesn't say, I've set it in your mind. I've set it in your brain. Now try and comprehend it. Don't try and comprehend it. Don't try and work it all out because you won't be able to do it. But why not allow faith to connect you to him this morning? Why not allow something to happen in your heart today and respond? The Bible says this, that when you hear the word of God, if you believe in your heart and if you speak it with your mouth, then you are saved. God never comes to try and reason with us. What he does is, he comes and stirs our heart. And just as one man in the 1950s went around and he wrote the only word he could write on the streets of Sydney, the one word that God set in you before you ever took your first breath was the word eternity. Because God wants to connect with you. And for us who know God, let's let this word come alive to us again. Let's let this word begin to affect our choices and our lives and the things that we do and the way that we take up the call of God. You know, I don't know what I would do if I came home to math. I don't know what math would do, actually. And I said, you know, I'm not going to go out to work, love. I'm just going to take my piece of chalk every morning. And I'm going to go and write the word eternity all over Louth. I'd like to say that he would pray over me every day and send me on my way. I don't know if that would happen, though. But one man, and he had a wife, told his wife, I'm going to write the word eternity everywhere that I can. Because people need to hear and people need to know. And this morning, if you were to know that today was your last day, would you be sure where you'd spend eternity? When God sets eternity in our hearts, when we respond, our hearts will leap. And we'll connect with God.